That was Harold Dark's lovely setting of Christina Rossetti's poem In a Bleak Midwinter. Now, it's been a fairly rubbish year. We all know that. I know we should count our blessings and all that, even if it seems a bit hard. Lizzie said the other day that at least there were no Viking raids. And yes, I suppose that's a blessing in a way. But there's no getting away from the fact that things have been pretty bad this year. It's a symbol of the messed upness of Christmas this year that our celebrations have been promised and then snatched away at pretty well the last minute. So what, I wonder, are you going to miss this Christmas? Many of you are missing a great deal, I'm sure. Much of what we're missing are those things that we take as signs of love that others have for us and that we have for them. We miss the visits of family and friends, we miss communal meals, we miss the giving and receiving of presents, we miss the rituals, the public rituals of the sort we have in church and the private family rituals, the things that tie us together, that are those annual expressions of love because this is what we always do. We need those signs of human love, but this year we may have to do without. What then do we make of a Christmas without all those usual signs of love? I want to talk about love this year, not gooey, doe-eyed young love or even mature, comfortable love, nor in fact about any human love. Even if your experience of love is good, and I hope you've had some experience at least of good love, we all know that human love can fade or fail. We know that it can be irritating or irritable. We know that it's fickle sometimes, that it can come and go, departing through the changes and chances of life as quickly as it came. For all the signs of love that Christmas celebrations usually are, they're not what Christmas then is about. This year we've had two births in our church family, occasions of great joy for all of us. Those babies are loved. They're loved by their families and their friends. They're loved by all of us here at St Andrew's. The baby whose birth we celebrate, Jesus, was loved too, of course. But he turns it around. He's an expression, the expression, of God's love to us. The one whose birth actually says to us, I, God, love you. Whose birth is the revelation of the love that God is, the outpouring of love, that is God's constant attitude towards us. So Jesus' birth says, I love you, as nothing else can. Remember, as you celebrate this birth, that you are loved by the Almighty, the Creator, the Eternal One. Here then is the meaning of this first Christmas, the first meaning at any rate. It means you are loved. Loved as profoundly as it is possible to be loved. Loved with a passion which no earthly passion can match. Loved with a constancy which is unmatched by any human loyalty. Loved as yourself too. Loved as your true self, your inner being, not as some front that you have to put on. Loved so that you can be reconciled to the one who is love, so that you may, by faith, be a child in the family of God. We're all going to miss our human celebrations this year, for sure. But from the birth of that child in Bethlehem so long ago, know this, you are loved. There's been so much uncertainty this year that it feels as though a cloud of unknowing has settled across our land. It's really profoundly unsettling. How are you? Someone asks. I'm fine, you reply. This exchange, so often repeated, is often a little untrue, but in normal times it has a sort of performative value. The word becomes truth as we just get on with things, battle on through our daily grind, whatever it might be. I feel as though that era of that half-truth being acceptable is coming to an end. We've had enough and truth must out. We know others may be worse off, of course, they always are, but we're not okay. So how might you answer in truth if I was to ask, how are you? Might you say, I'm anxious pretty well the whole time? Or, how are you? I'm low, I can't shake it off, I've never been depressed, but now I wonder. Or, how are you? I cannot cope, the effort to function is now too great, I'm going down, and I don't know when I'm going to hit rock bottom. Here too, the child in the manger speaks. If the divine I love you is the first meaning of Christmas, the second, which speaks right into our here and now, is this: I am with you. I'm with you because God is with us in all we know and in all we go through. The baby was real, and the baby was really God. The baby became a child and then a man, and in his life was tempted and traumatized, loved and abused, was tired and was rested, and was hungry and was fed. The full experience of being human was poured into God somehow, poured into the divine, so that we can know that God knows. He knows us. And remember this too, the human voice is still, even as I sit here speaking to you, speaking through the risen Christ into the ear of God. So God knows that when we answer, I'm fine, the truth is probably a bit different, and that his love is needed, and that his presence with us is still needed. And his presence is here. His spirit is here. Reach out to him and you will know it. The baby who became a man was killed, rose again, and ascended into heaven. The embodiment and voice of humanity is there in heaven. But the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, has come and is with us still today. The baby who was in the manger still calls out to this very day, I love you and I am with you. It's a beautiful thing this Christmas. No half-truths here, no broken promises, no U-turns, no loopholes. Just a baby born for us, one who says, I love you and I am with you.